Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first. Hashtag You Matter. If you get a chance, please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. To find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Wisdom Whispers, a little food for thought newsletter. You'll find a gift there for you listeners, a printable journal just for all you wonderful folks out there who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, and even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. I'd love to have you join our circle. And remember, choosing you first is not a selfish act. It is an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. This morning, I'm excited to introduce a friend as my guest today, Gina Diane Harding. Her pioneering work focuses on emerging energy concepts aimed at evolving a love-driven higher consciousness, and heaven knows the world needs her work now. She enjoys connecting with Mother Earth and collaborating with shamans, visionaries, and consciousness innovators worldwide. Today she's going to share her journey with Mary Magdalene and her wonderful best-selling novel, Walking in Wonder, as well as introduce us to her second book released yesterday. And congratulations, Diane, on another bestseller on her launch. Tell us a little about yourself and what inspired you to begin writing the Mary Magdalene Lives series.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I'm really excited to be chatting with you today. I've been an author now since about 2011. Before that, I was working in the healthcare field as a nursing administrator. But I'd always had a connection with Mary Magdalene from the time I was about 10 years old, when my father had a life-threatening illness and was in hospital, and it happened to be Easter weekend. And I took the prayer book and was reading through the story of Easter, and somehow Mary Magdalene just caught my attention and her important role. I had heard a little bit about her when I was growing up. We weren't a particularly religious family, but we did go to church often. And with my dad being so ill, I asked her to intercede with the Creator, with God, and to help him to get well. And it was quite a story, because it was Thursday before Easter, and my mom was at the hospital the whole time. And on Easter Sunday, I went to church and we all prayed for my dad. And just about that time, my mom told me that the doctor came out and told her that my dad had turned the corner and was going to live. So I felt that Mary Magdalene had had a hand in that, that it was a miracle. And that was my first introduction to her. Felt like she was with me, and that continued as I grew up. So that was the basic inspiration for wanting to tell the world about Mary Magdalene and her story. I had an ongoing fascination with her through my life and really continued to study and read all I could about her. So when the time was right, I began to write my story.
That's so fascinating. So it's been more than just a book writing journey for you. It's been a lifetime journey.
It has been, yes, yeah. As I was growing up, I read everything that I could about her and just have always felt that connection. So it was quite, it was a bit of another synchronicity when I decided to start writing. I had gone to, I'd been gifted a tarot card reading for my birthday, and I'd finished writing another book and was searching for what I should do next, and a card came up that was Sarah, Mary Magdalene's daughter in some legends, and she was at the tour in Glastonbury with Joseph of Arimathea, and I took that as a sign that I should be starting to write my Mary Magdalene Lives series.
Wow. Well, I know in the beginning you tasked the readers with this question. What if you stepped into another reality and discovered everything you thought you knew about Mary Magdalene was askew? And then you write, "Welcome to a world where the miraculous meets the mundane and history and the present are redefined." I thought that was an amazing opening. It certainly hooked me. So in this first segment, I'd love for you to share a bit about book one, Walking in Wonder, and then introduce us to your newly released book two in the Mary Magdalene series, Walking in Love, both available now on Amazon, and I believe book two has a special price for your launch this week.
That's right. Yeah, it's a paperback book, and it's only $8.88 for the paperback on Amazon in the United States. So people can get it at probably about half the price that it will be when it goes back to, or when it goes to its regular price.
That's awesome. Well, so tell us about book one, Walking in Wonder.
Yes, it starts out with Mary Magdalene wandering around the countryside in Galilee. She has seven sacred followers, and the story tells about how these women, young women, one as young as 16, were happened to start following Mary. A lot of them were rebels in a way, because women were expected to marry in those days, and they came upon a gal who had been beaten and was near death, and Mary and her best friend Ruth, who had been with her since she was a child and learned to heal at the same time that Mary did, and they Ruth took care of this gal, and she joined the group of seven who taught women in Galilee. She met them at the wells and at the streams where they washed their clothes. And she taught us how to live lives of fulfillment, of joy, of freedom from struggle, inner peace, and unconditional love. But there's more to the book than the teachings of the way, which our how to live this life. It's also a story that tells about Mary and how she came to be the spiritual leader and teacher that she is in the book. I see her as a very powerful woman who was, although she was only mentioned 12 times in the Bible, she was someone who was a role model and a leader for women. So the book talks about the stories of Mary, how she came to be this leader, and the women and how they grew spiritually and personally during the book.
What would be your one big takeaway that you would give people from book one that leads them into book two?
I'd say that the biggest takeaway is learning to connect with consciousness and with choosing your life and having a perspective that allows you to be open-minded and to feel inner peace and freedom from struggle, some of the things that Mary taught in the way, and that connection with the Creator, with your higher self, and with the with everything that is on Earth, with other humans, with the trees and the plants and the creatures. All of that message leads into book two, which continues on with that, but it also brings another level of intrigue and action.
So book two, Walking in Love, where does that take Mary and you on this journey?
Well, it takes Mary and the reader from Capernaum, where they meet up with Jeshua, Ben Joseph, and his disciples. You see Mary co-teaching the Beatitudes or the subject of how to live a good life. You see her and Jeshua co-teaching this. And then they travel to Jerusalem, where you're led through the period from Palm Sunday to the crucifixion, to the resurrection and ascension, and you are able to sit in on some of the teachings that Mary and Jeshua do with the apostles and the disciples between the period of the resurrection and the ascension. You learn about a variety of things, including intimate love, how to handle fear of persecution and being resilient. And then after the ascension, Mary and the apostles organize a new church, and Mary works with them to help support those that are fearful of being visible and being persecuted. And she also has some teachings about mental health and grieving. There's aspects of time travel and astral travel, which is where the spiritual fantasy and alternate history come in.
So this really is a historical novel, but it also is a it's a download from you, I mean to you, for the world.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't say it was channeled. It was, it's an alternate history that I had downloaded, which is a good word to describe it, as I wrote. And some of it is, as I say, spiritual fantasy. The reason that I use that term is because some people aren't, don't believe in things like astral travel, like telepathy, like remote visioning. So people who find that foreign concept would relax and think, I think, accept some of the ideas more as a fantasy novel.
Very cool. So why do you think Mary Magdalene is so popular today, and what prompted you to take up this series and write it?
Well, I think that Mary is a model of being a complete human, a whole human. And she is a guiding light for women, and there are a lot of men who follow her as well. She's a leader. She shows unconditional love and is in unity with all of creation. So this state of divine harmony teaches people about integrating their spirituality into a balanced way in their daily life. I think that she's popular for a couple of reasons. One is the fact that women today are looking for role models. People have lost what's important to them. They tend to be all caught up in the drama, in what's going on their social media feeds, what's happening in your country with elections, and the fact that there's over 60 countries, I believe, that are having elections this year. So, in a way, the book is a way out of this mess. It's to turn people around and kind of point in the opposite direction. Even if we're criticized and teased, it's a bit of inspiration that people need to fight against the collective conditioning that we're all experiencing. Mary was a spiritual rebel, and Mary and Jeshua ben Joseph, which was Jesus' Aramaic name, they questioned what was accepted, and I believe that we should be doing that too. The second reason is that she's so popular today is that people are realizing that the story that's been told about her for thousands of years is not true. And the priesthood and Mary's role in the biblical text has historically been used as evidence that the church should not have female priests. But the new information that's coming out since 1969, when the Catholic Church admitted that it had mistakenly identified her as a sex worker, the calls for women in church leadership positions have grown louder. So she has a lot of power within the church as well, and there's a lot of women who look to Mary Magdalene as a foundation for women's leadership within the church. So I think those are two reasons, one secular and one more religious, why she's so popular today. And I felt that it was really important to write about her as a role model and as someone who was an inspiration to women, and that also I was hoping that we could change her perception and also change the perception of women in the world to increase respect for women globally?
Well, I think for me, it reminds me of the resurgence of hope and faith that I think is growing in our world. People are beginning to look up once again instead of just looking down all the time and reaching back into those annals of their own personal history that hold that hope and faith that's driven the world forward for all these eons. So what are readers saying about your two wonderful books?
That's a good question. People are enjoying them. I don't have any testimonials right off the top of my head to read, but people are finding that it is a book that's helpful and hopeful. They're feeling that it does present Mary in a different way that changes their perception and gives them an opportunity to feel inspired while they're reading a good story. So I think that would summarize some of the comments that I've been getting.
Well, I'll just read real quickly here before we go to break that something that you wrote on one of the things you sent me, and it's that people can get absorbed in the story that expresses the immense power of love and declares the rock-solid belief that it can transform the universe. And this is from your book, Walking in Love, the new one. It challenges you to rise with Mary, embracing her dynamic spirit and being inspired by the boundaries, the boundless potentials of pure unconditional love. That it's a spiritual saga that belongs on your bookshelf, promising to shift your perspective and challenge the way you view the world's capacity for change. I just really thought that was a really powerful invitation for readers, men and women alike, to pick up these books and reconnect with the spiritual energy that is alive and well in our world.
Yes, I second that. And I agree that hope and faith is really important in these times. So that's something that is really key to people having the opportunity to get this as they read the book.
Yes, thank you, Diane. And readers out there, we will be back in just a few short minutes with Gina Diane Harding and talk more about her books and her process, The Magic of Intuitive Storytelling. This is Vicki Dobbs with Kindred Spirits, and we shall return shortly.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. I am your host, Vicki Dobbs, here with kindred spirit and dynamic author, Gina Diane Harding. Gina, you write that Mary's quest is to impart the way. Tell us a little bit about what you call a radical philosophy promising conscious fulfillment, inner peace, and a zest for living.
The way is the philosophy that Mary and Jeshua developed in Egypt after they had connected with the Creator, who told them basically what he wanted them to teach, and they expounded on that. So the way is about how to live a fulfilled, higher conscious life of inner peace, of unconditional love, joy, and well-being, and also freedom from struggle. That would be the easiest way to describe it, and people can learn more about it as they read the book.
Absolutely. That sounds like a quest well worth taking. And can you also talk a little bit about your process? I mean, you and I have, and switching gears a bit, I'd love to just jump right into the magic of intuitive storytelling. You write great stories, Gina Diane. What is your writing process like, and how do you stay connected to your spiritual guidance as you bring forth these beautiful stories?
Well, my process is to first get into almost a semi-trance state. I begin by relaxing and using an essential oil or two to connect with my highest power, with the Creator, and with all that is. And by that I mean the people, the creatures, the trees, the skies, the seas, and the water. And so I get into this process where I also connect then to my characters, and I watch the scene unfold in front of me. I find that's the way that I download. It's almost as if I'm watching a movie when I'm writing. And I'd be pleased to do a little exercise later on that helps people access that state and describes it a little bit further.
So you don't just sit down at the computer and start writing. You have a creative practice or process that allows this fictional narrative, the movie of your stories, to emerge intuitively. And I know you said something about it downloading. Would you call it like journey work, or is it dreaming awake? Are you in a dream state or in an altered state? How would you explain it to someone who feels their stories waiting to be told?
I would say that it is a bit of a dream state. You let go of your mind and you get into an empty state, asking for the characters to come forward and asking them to just show you what it is they want you to know. So I don't worry too much about whether what I'm writing makes sense or whether it's grammatically correct. I just write about what I'm seeing in front of me. I would say for people who are wanting to write that gets a great way to go, because you're allowing yourself to let go of expectations, and you're also just giving yourself permission to go ahead and put down what it is that you see. If you're not the type of person who sees things, probably looking at what are your dreams like? Do you hear things in your dreams? Do you sense things? And getting into that dreamlike state is the way that I would suggest for people who want to write their own stories.
So you bring shamanic practices into your writing, that the work that influences you and even your personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know you worked with Lynn Andrews, and I had read her shamanic work early on in my metaphysical awakening, and I really resonated with the stories she told of her own training. I related to working with nature and respecting and honoring the wisdom of plants and nature and the elders. And I was using her practices as well as studying intuitive healing when I had an opportunity to go to Mexico to the ruins, and they felt like my home. And I met my teacher, Miguel Angel Vergara, there, and studied with him for several years. So my first book, From Here to Eternity, was a combination of shamanic practices and wisdom and practical techniques I'd learned from my nursing career and my personal life while I was healing from a deep depression. And then I went on to thrive and become a best-selling author and spiritual mentor through a lot of the shamanic practices that I use. And I use those and ceremony and ritual extensively in my work and in my writing.
That's very cool. Can you share real quickly, before we have to go on break again, a pivotal moment in your own spiritual journey that significantly influenced your writing?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple, but I would say what influenced me most to begin my writing was the fact that I had the depression and was quite... my life was impacted for several years with it. I had realized that my ladder was up against the wrong wall. I was in a very fulfilling work that I enjoyed in healthcare, but one day I realized that really wasn't doing it for me, and so I went through a depression. It was a breakthrough. And when I healed, I wanted to share with people what I had experienced. And so that got me writing to share my experiences and to share ways that people could deal with overwhelm and with some of the things, the chaos that's going on in our world today.
Well, that is, I think that's called the dark night of the soul when we get there, and most of us have moved through that. And when we come back, Gina Diane's going to share a practice that you all can use to connect with your own higher consciousness. So hang in there with us. This is Vicki Dobbs, and we will be right back.
The
life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Vicki Dobbs, here with my friend and fellow best-selling author, Gina Diane Harding, talking about her new book, Walking in Love, number 2 in the Mary Magdalene series, and talking about the first book, Walking in Wonder, and some of the practices that led to the writing of these books. And I've asked Gina to maybe take us on a little exercise ceremony to help us make a connection to our own inner guidance and higher consciousness. But caveat here, if you're driving, please pull over and just listen, or just listen while you're driving. Don't move into that second attention space. You can always catch us on the rerun at 9 o'clock tonight, or listen anytime in the archives on my website at VickiDobbs.com. Under the tab Interviews and What I'm Up To. So, Gina Diane, what would you share as a special ritual or practice that you find particularly powerful in connecting with higher consciousness?
I'm going to start at quite a basic level, Vicki, so that people can know something that anytime that they want to connect to a higher consciousness place. So what I'll ask everyone to do is to get comfortable and close their eyes and take 3 deep breaths in. And on the first deep breath, just be aware of any tension in your body. And on the breathing out, breathe out and release all of that tension. On the next breath in, be aware of any thoughts that are racing through your mind. And as you breathe out, imagine that there's a whiteboard with those thoughts printed on them, and that whiteboard is being erased as you breathe out so that your thoughts are gone and your mind is totally blank. And on the third breath in, I want you to feel a golden light coming in through your crown and moving from your crown to your third eye, into your heart, and moving down into Mother Earth and grounding you. And feel as that golden light grounds you, that your as if you're growing roots and grounding as well. So that's the third breath, where you're grounding and bringing in light from the cosmos and the celestial realm. And now I want you to consider your connection with the Creator. Think about the Creator of all that is, and feel the immense love the Creator has for you. And feel you returning that love. Feel yourself expanding, your heart expanding, it moving into every cell of your body and lighting up each cell. Feel the Creator within you, that process of creation within you. And now connect with your highest self, with that being that has the creation, to connect with the zero point, the point of where that is in the void, in the darkness, where all creation takes place, where creation expands. And then the next connection I want you to make again is with the all that is. Strengthen that connection with all sentient life on earth and in the cosmos. And now that you're connected to all three, I want you to ask for your particular guide, your creative muse, if you're wanting to connect as a writer. Ask for them to come forward. See an image. It may be a bright light. It may actually be an image of a person or an animal. They may be waving to you and saying hello. See that image come closer. And stop for a moment and chat with them. See what special message they have for you and what they can offer you as an ally, as a spirit guide, as your writing mentor. I'll pause for a moment while you hear what it is that they have to tell you. Ask them to show you a scene that is starring you and that is important for you to know. And from this place of highest consciousness, make sure that you ask yourself and your neural pathways to remember how to get here and what this feels like, so that you can return again and again. And thank your ally for coming. Ask them for any help or assistance that you'd like them to basis on an ongoing basis. And when you're ready, open your eyes, feel back into your body, and take some deep breaths so that you know that you are once again presence in the room.
Oh, that was beautiful, Gina Diane. Thank you. And in these next few minutes, when we break for commercial, let that inhale the beauty of what you've just experienced and maybe make a few notes for yourself. And we will be right back with Gina Diane in a few minutes. Hang in there, and we'll talk in a few.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Dobbs, and I'm talking with Gina Diane Harding. We just did a beautiful meditative exercise, so give yourselves a minute to wiggle your fingers and toes. Make sure you're back in the room, back in your seat, and we're just going to jump right in here with a good question for today's day and age. And Gina Diane, you write about the role of women in spirituality, and Mary Magdalene is a powerful female figure in your work. How do you see the role of women evolving in spiritual communities today?
Well, I think if we look at the spiritual communities, again, as opposed to religious, women are getting more involved in spiritual circles. These circles may be things like priestess schools. I'm finding a lot of women are awakening to the fact that they feel a real kinship with the priestesses of old, and so they're seeking spiritual circles and priestess schools, and believing that they were reincarnated in these schools can be things like online, or they can be in person, where women get together and learn the arts of anointing and how to be leaders, and as well just spiritual circles where women also talk about their personal growth, how to grow according to their purpose in life. And as well, I find that women can do some of these leadership roles just in their ordinary, everyday, like not even necessarily in a spiritual community. They, for instance, when they're going to pick up their children from school, which seems to be the norm today rather than having children walk home like when we were growing up, when you're picking up your child from school, you can chat with the women about spiritual topics, how to live a life that has more peace in it, that where you're interacting with nature more, where you're more consciously aware of what's going on with you. And I think that that also occurs in Facebook groups. So that can be another type of spiritual circle that women can...
So the key is actually connecting with people, not just passing by through life.
That's
making eye contact,
yes,
talking
exactly.
to people. Yeah, yeah. Living by example.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think Mary Magdalene's teachings can be applied to modern life and our own contemporary spiritual practices?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of ways that you can deepen your spiritual practices today. Some of the ways would include things like even going to ChatGPT to give you ideas and to develop a program for your spiritual development. But see what way you learn best and resonate with and develop a plan from that. It might be something like just going into a bookstore and seeing what calls to you and what books fall off the shelf, or browsing the internet and seeing what comes up when you do searches for spiritual growth or personal growth, looking for a Facebook group, and doing journaling, contemplation, so various things like that that you can use for living today. And Mary Magdalene, I believe, really exemplifies that in the books, although she, of course, she does travel to the future where she encounters computers, but for the most part, the teachings that she does with her Sacred Seven and with the apostles can be put into practice today. Things like how to connect with people in love, and simple exercises that you can do with partners or friends.
Well, that's very cool. And you all know I preach choosing you first and putting you at the top of your priority list. And Gina Diane, do you integrate your own self-care routine into your writing and spiritual practices? Because with the amount of writing that you do and the beauty of the writing that you put out into the world, time has to be something that you almost have to bend in some situations to package it all together and participate not only as the amazing author and writer that you are, but as a teacher, a shaman, a spiritual woman in your own community. How do you integrate a self-care routine into your own writing and spiritual practices?
That's a great question, Vicki. As you say, I do bend time. I'm fortunate that I live alone, so I'm able to take advantage of working when I have the energy, and I've learned through a lot of trial and error to have patience and to let go when I still want to keep on working, and I've learned the value of naps. So that's
the sacred nap.
Sacred nap, yes. To put myself first, that's one of my big self-care practices. It's happened gradually, and I still go through periods where I have a good awareness of self-care, where I've learned to listen to my body and make food choices that align with what people might say is healthier eating, but I still have a long way to go in the variety and my activity levels and things like that. But the other thing that I do to try and integrate my self-care into writing is doing things in the moment and stretching or exercises that I do when I'm in groups where you do write together alone. Things that in one of the groups we call alpacolotties and laughalotties, which is basically stretching exercises in the study halls that keep me flexible. So those are some of the ways that I try and integrate my self-care into the writing and spiritual practices.
So I don't want us to run out of time before you tell people how they can find you and what you might have to offer for them. So tell us, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your books. Go for it.
Great. Okay. I'd like to offer a gift for people who want to find out a bit more about the art of creating rituals. People can get it at bit.ly, which is bit.ly/art of creating rituals. And perhaps you could put that in the show notes. Also, people can follow me on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Diane.Harding3. That's Diane.Harding3. And another good place to follow me is my Amazon authors page, which is
That's wonderful, Diane. They can find you on Amazon with your books, and there's lots of them out there, folks. And remember to check out my workshop. And just a heads up, I'm teaching with Beth Birkins this fall equinox weekend up in Northern California as we walk through the shaman's door, bridging the legacies of Len Andrews and the Sisterhood of the Shield with Michael Harner's Way of the Shaman and Evelyn Eaton's Medicine Wheel teaching. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time for you to give yourself permission to be first in your world. Put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy because hashtag you matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again. Blessings to all, and we'll chat again next month.